first talking point out of last night's game has to be the continued evolution, if we can call it that, or re-evolution of Esmil Rogers as a starting pitcher last night, throwing a sinking fastball. Great effectiveness, got a double play off it, ended his stint in the game with a couple of ground ball outs. Can you see Esmil Rogers? Like, let's assume this team gets itself into a position where it's playing significant baseball in September. Can you see Esmil Rogers contributing as a regular member of the rotation?
I can. And I've seen that. I say that because now 2 weeks ago, not even that, really just the last outing he had against the Rangers, I went on this kind of quest to see what had changed about Esmil Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
So I could find out if he was sustainable or not. Of course, whenever you start talking about, well, the sample size is small and he hasn't thrown a lot of this, and historically speaking, he sucked in this role.
Yeah.
During a streak when a guy pitched well to a fan base who's desperate for their team to win, they eat you alive.
Of course.
But the truth was, is we were looking to see if Esmil Rogers could maintain this kind of dominance, because if he can, wow, total value package.
Oh, incredibly.
Right. You got a guy that's out there throwing 96 miles an hour with this four-seamer, 93 mile an hour, not just a two-seamer, but a good sinking two-seamer, that he has suddenly found the wherewithal, the stones, whatever it is, to backdoor righties and front-door lefties, meaning he'll throw it right at your knees if mm-hmm. you're a lefty, and it comes back in for a strike, and he'll throw it around the plate, Greg Maddux style, but like a 10 miles an hour harder,
mm-hmm.
against right-handers. His changeup is meh, but he doesn't have to throw it because he's got an 84-mile-an-hour curveball and an 88-89-mile-an-hour yeah. slider.
And appears to be unafraid to throw the pitches in any count.
Right.
I mean, unless it totally makes no sense, but he appears to be unafraid to throw it in any count.
Well, when you're feeling good,
yeah.
there's no need to fear. You just go right for it. And this is a good team. And there was you gotta think of this narrative. Really, when you watched that outing last night from Esmil Rogers, this is a team that he had pitched for, kind of gave up on him, didn't think he could start anymore, wheel and deal him, and now he gets to go out and face him in the capacity which he kind of blew it
mm-hmm.
for them, and he deals, and he looked good doing it. I think that if you continue to see a kind of building on what he's got now, look, it's not enough for a guy to come out there and throw sinkers and sliders when that's not what you have really, you know, that's not really your thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is missing is elevating for purpose, pitching off of that with a breaking ball.
Right.
I think these are the things that he is going to have to learn how to do, because the league is going to make an adjustment now. They're going to start tabulating data.
Uh-huh.
They're going to start looking at tendencies, and they're going to make the adjustments. The good teams will. But he throws hard enough, he should be able to dominate the weaker ones. Unfortunately, there are none of those such teams in the AL East.
And what concerns me, and I want to talk a little bit about this idea of learning a pitch or having a pitch given to you by somebody, but, you know, Esmil's going to have to make those adjustments at a time where guys are really going to be locked in, right? We're talking the middle of the season, or guys should be locked in, the middle of the season. Or it's harder to do that than your second start of the year. In April, isn't it? Because you're facing guys who are, they've had a couple of hundred at bats by now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're locked in on you. That do you think that he can make that adjustment in a game? Will he be able to make those adjustments you're talking about in a game?
I think so. I think that he is becoming that kind of quality pitcher that I think everybody thought when you saw his stuff initially, when he probably first broke on the big league scene. You saw the plus stuff, and you thought, you know, this guy's going to be great if he can just figure it out. But then, like so many other pitchers, I mean, how many other pitchers are there in this world that have great stuff that for whatever reason they can't seem to put it together for their club? Now, I made this point on air of the broadcast last night. I said, it's funny, you will have pitchers, and basically all pitching coaches, they teach their pitchers the same thing as far as approach and mm-hmm. how to get guys out, throwing strikes, what counts, so on and so forth. It's all pretty much a rehash. Everybody just says it's a little bit differently. And depending on the very provincial nature of pitching coaches and lore and team reputation, they all think it's special unto them.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing is that, you know, I, my college pitching coach basically made me who I am. He gave me the – I don't think there's somebody who's really given me more wisdom than him to to get through my career with. But he brought his son to me for pitching lessons when I was in the big leagues.
Hmm.
And the reason he did that is because his son would no longer listen to him.
Right.
For whatever reason, that language had just become superfluous to the kid. He didn't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah. You don't want to hear it from dad.
Right, yeah. If odd. A teenager doesn't want to, you know, he's standoffish, doesn't want to listen to dad. So dad brings him, even though dad had a longer career in the big leagues than I did, and probably and way more success, and played in Japan, and, you know, all this stuff, kid won't listen to him, so I have to basically tell him how I got to the big leagues, which is entirely based on dad's teaching. So it's just a rehash. So Espo Rogers shows up over here. Somebody comes to him that is not somebody he's known for a long time. They establish a little bit of trust, and suddenly you're willing to listen and try some new stuff. Now, you were telling me that Espo Rogers talked to, what, Pat Hinken?
The story that Pat told me last night after the game. They were in New York, and he walked up to Espo Rogers. They were in the clubhouse very early. He walked up to Espo Rogers, and he said something had been bugging him. He'd been watching Espo in the bullpen. Same thing you saw. You know, great fastball and slider, fastball, slider.
Yeah, hard to miss that fastball, slider combo.
But he walked up and said, "Have you ever thrown a sinker?" And Rogers said he had. And you know, and Pat said, "Well, we've got a few minutes. Why don't we go out in the bullpen right now? Because I want to show you something." And essentially what he did is he showed him a sinker that Scott Erickson, who had a terrific sinker when he was pitching in the majors and was a former teammate of Henkins, he showed him a sinker grip that Erickson showed Henkin. Henkin couldn't throw it all that well. But it was a grip, and to make a long story short, the way Pat explained it, when you release the ball, the seams, you get the same sensation you get when you're throwing your four-seamer, except it's a two-seamer. That's what he told me. And it involves a knuckle or anything, something like that. And essentially, Rogers threw it in the bullpen. It was great. And then, as Pat said, the next thing is you're going to do it in a game. First game out, Aaron Seabee calls for it, throws it, great.
Falls in love with it.
Falls in love with it, gets Evan Longoria his next outing after that to hit into a double play. And now it's like, it's his pitch.
Yeah, becomes your pitch. It's funny how that works.
It's a signature pitch.
Funny how that works.
But here's the thing, though. You know, you've got to, especially a guy like Henkin with the resume, the track record and all that, you still, as a pitcher, have to be receptive to that, right? You still have to be receptive to somebody tapping you on the shoulder and saying, I know you're in the majors, but here's an idea I have. Are pitchers generally that open? Are there guys who are generally that open to those type of suggestions?
Do you remember Brad Mills?
Yes.
Little Brad Mills with the real funky, straight-over-the-top delivery, fastball, curveball. I remember being with Brad Mills in Las Vegas when the Blue Jays were still there, and saying, you throw fastball, curveball, changeup. You have no sinker, you have no cutter, you have no slider. You really need to learn something. He's like, I'm striking out so many guys here. I'm like, yeah, but when you get to the big leagues, guys will eliminate the fact that you don't have a cutter, you don't have a slider, you know, you have no two-seam sink. It's going to be straight fastball, and they're going to look for fastballs, and fastballs count, and they're going to get them because you have nothing to really deceive that goes left to right. You pitch purely in the vertical column. It's tough to do that as a starter all the time. Guys will make adjustments. You'll miss a fastball up. It's the big leagues. Learn it. Just show that you got it. You don't have to throw it all the time. No. I mean, it took him so long to finally say, all right, okay, I'll try something new. You get to the big leagues, a lot of times pitching coaches don't even want to mess with it. If you're being successful, there's no reason to. There's no reason to. And even though you know the league is going to react, you almost wait for the league to react. Because then you know that guy is going to listen. It's it's a small window of time at the big leagues.
That's what I was
going
to say.
To be successful. You don't want to try and fix what's not broken. So this does happen. And the other thing is when you start to mix in a new pitch, it's difficult because some pitches will screw up the feel you have on other pitches.
That's what he's going to ask. You're doing it in a game. It's not like it's a bad time to experiment against the Boston Red Sox and Fenway Park.
I'm doing well. My team's on the comeback. It's time for me to go out and play laboratory on the mound during an important race. You know,
probably not.
Yeah. So it's temperamental. I learned my cutter when I was in AAA in Durham, and I knew I wasn't going to go back to the big leagues because I was throwing like 86 to 90, which is, you know, it's the Rays, for God's sakes. They have a stable full of 21-year-olds throwing in the mid-90s that are all awesome. I'm not going to beat any of them out unless everyone in the Rays organization, you know, suddenly catches gonorrhea. I don't know. So the bottom line is
gonorrhea.
Look it up.
Okay. I feel one of those old people.
I became cutter-centric. I became cutter-centric. And the problem was is that because of the way the wrist action worked for the cutter, I couldn't throw my two-seamer anymore. So okay. Then I would spike it, and I had to learn that balance. Yeah. And the thing about a signature pitch that you fall in love with is that you keep throwing it. Suddenly you start throwing it way more than everything else you have, and then you forget how to pitch. You rely on this kind of kryptonite pitch mm-hmm. that you're going to throw, the ultimate, you know, the end of days pitch, the equalizer. And when guys start to react to it or know that you have it, it doesn't equalize anymore. And then you give up. Oh, it doesn't work anymore. I got to bang it out. Back to the old drawing board. Wrong. A new pitch is great. When it's working, it's great. You use it. I get that. But you also have to learn to pitch mm-hmm. around that new pitch. You have to know the ratio of when you can throw it, how to throw it, that kind of stuff. Pitch with it. Because if you just use it over and over again, guys will eventually make the adjustment to it. You will start to fail, and then you will go right back. It's like going on a diet. I look great. I look wonderful. And as soon as you come off the diet, you gain it all back. So you've really got to learn how to mix it in. And I think that Esmer Rogers, he has the benefit of the big leagues. And this is where learning a new pitch is great, because at the big league level, guys have already stumbled through that process, mm-hmm. the fad. And they will tell you, learn to pitch with this. Here's how. Work this in. Just because you like it and you've got some good results against some big hitters and made you feel really happy, you can't abuse it.
Yeah, and one of the points Pat Henkin was making was that, you know, Esmil's got, he's got a great feel for his off-speed stuff and breaking stuff. Like, he's mm-hmm. got a good feel
and
for
he's got
that.
Good off-speed breaking stuff.
Yeah.
Good slider, hard curve.
Yeah.
Really good curve.
And it was funny, I know that some of the Rockies players after the game who knew Esmil Rogers from his time with the Rockies all said the same thing. The hell did he pick up the sinker? You know, where'd he pick that up? He didn't have it when he was with us. If he'd had it with us, he might have still been with us.